The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/TDI. Well, hello and welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode number 565 for the coming up on the second week of June 2018. And here we are talking. I'm your host, of course, Andrew Horowitz. And we're taking a little bit of a detour the next couple of weeks with regard to how we are going to be doing the show. As I mentioned, we're up in New York City at the Benzinga FinTech Awards, talking with some amazing people about the whole area of technology and finance. And we are bringing them to you to talk about what's going on in that industry, a variety of different areas we're talking about. Kind of a chat with them, an abbreviated version of those conversations that we had to bring you all the things that we learned during the conference. And this week we have two great guests, Anton Moscovy from Human IQ or Humanique, depending on how you want to pronounce it, and John Bartleman, who is the president of TradeStation. Let's listen into what we had to talk about. All right, right off the stage, we have with us Anton Moscovy with Human IQ. Actually, it's spelled Human IQ, but it's Humanique. What's the right spelling and saying of the name of your company?
Right. So it's actually Humanique, but some people do pronounce it as Humanic. It actually differs, as you obviously know, in English and French, you pronounce it differently. And since we operate in Africa, we decided that we're going to people the freedom and then decide whether it's Humanic or Humanique.
Oh, so they can say it any way they want.
Yeah.
As long as they use your service.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But here's the thing. And you got the shirt on right here. It says empowering the unbanked. I don't know if you came up with the unbanked or where that came from, because the first time I really, maybe I'm wrong, but the first time I heard that was from some literature that you put out. What do you mean by unbanked?
Correct. So the unbanked terms comes from the clear word. It means that a human being doesn't have a bank account.
Right.
It means that a human being somehow interacts with other people financially without the banking system in our traditional terms. So whether that's barter system, whether again that's some money system, so pretty much cash, right? Whether there's something else that we, you know, can't even think about, but it's happening outside of the banking system.
So you then, because you did this on stage, you actually had someone requesting for money to help with the expansion of their sheep farming operation, if I read that correctly. And there was something like, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like 600 HMQs?
Yes, correct.
Humanique crypto something or others, right?
Yeah, tokens. Yeah.
Tokens, okay. So are you the founder and funder of the HMQs? Is that how it went? And then you're doling out, I don't mean this negatively, I mean seriously, you know, how are you doing it? Are you approving somebody to get a loan? Is that what it is?
No, actually not. So first of all, I'm not the founder, right? I'm the CTO.
CTO.
Right. So it's funny. I joined a year ago when the ICO has finished. And what happens is that I actually just gave out, you know, a piece of my salary out there. So obviously what we try to do is that because people that do believe in the project, we think that what if we actually start, you know, paying each other in HMQ tokens? And then you just saw that there was part of my salary out there. And there was a person, and as I mentioned, my phone number is out there. It's public. And then people do actually ask for help. So there was just, you know, yet another person that asked for help. It was brief, it was quick. So I tried to show yes. Usually, again, typically we go through the case and then we ask them, you know, what exactly are trying to do, why. So we do a little bit of investigation, but we do try to help people, you know, even privately, let's call it this way.
So the thing is, I need to actually find out your speaking schedule and then find out how I can get on your platform and request right when you're going on stage so you don't have to do the background check on me.
Yeah, that was now those guys, right. It's actually funny. The very first case when it happened, so we had our Instagram, advertisement, and my phone number was on a screenshot. And what happened later is that somehow it got spread out. So people that did use Instagram, and then they told to the other people from their villages that, you know, didn't use it. And they were like, hey, you know, let's see what happens. Let's type in this phone number. So then they signed up, for the app. They did text me, and then they were like, hey, yo, what's up? It was just literally like that. And then that's when, you know, the entire thing escalated. And I was amazed. And then that's what our customer development department have never thought of, that people would be so curious. They saw this phone number on the internet, and then they just texted it.
By accident, but it could have been a great marketing mechanism, but it turned out, but it was done in a way that was honest and maybe not thinking that it was anything for marketing. It just was done. But let's just get back to this for a second. So in the normal course of what you're doing, there's going to be some investigation about the creditworthiness of the party on the other end. It's going to be a loan. Now, if they don't have banks, they're going to have to pay you back and watch in HMQs.
Right. So what happens here is that we try to, distance from loans or from actual, financial services. We are, if you may think about us as being as a medium. So we try to provide that layer. We try to provide a service, right? We give an access, and then we step back and then let the people actually, communicate and work together. So what you just saw out there, it was just, personally me, just giving
that out. That was charity for you. That was generosity for you. That was just you could, doing it. I get that.
Right.
So you get a piece of that. But what you get paid in HMQs?
Partially, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. So, but just get back to this, because it is about giving people money that don't have money and they're unbanked, and giving them the ability to have a financial platform that allows them to grow their business and to do the things they need to do. But is there then, therefore, a limitation of how much can be lent out or given out or something from the system?
Yes.
There is a limitation,
yes,
right?
Yes. So initially, ground up, and that's what I was there for. So we have an emission model, right? And then we define the mathematical rules of how we can mint the tokens and then what we can do with them. So initially, what we thought out is that every unique single human being, right, on the planet, and that's another piece. So we do digital identities so that we guarantee that, nobody else is going to get your tokens, and then you're going to get your tokens twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is that we roughly calculated that it should be around the $20. So the equivalent, obviously the price of HMQ token fluctuates, so there's different numbers of tokens that you get, right? But then if we spread it out, and then, if we actually give you it in pieces, throughout the period of time, then we can definitely see that there's a value in that token that you're getting there. So there's lots of, inclusion mechanics in terms of how people think, because the way we think about money is very different, the way that people think it out there. So for us, it was important to make sure that we do show them there's a value out here. So
think
about it as an initial capital, mm-hmm. right? Instead of going with bag of full of cash, to the country where there's no liquidity, there's no economy, right? What we do is that we give them that's liquidity. So there's token, right? Since it's digital, we don't need to go there physically. We're out there, but it's tradable. So people can actually trade it. People can get back the cash. They can get the services, goods, right? We just need to provide them an interface. And that's exactly what's happening. So we provide them an initial capital, and now they can use that capital for, whatever they want. Right. And then what happens later down the road is that unless they give it back, right, the value decreases of that token. So pretty much there's mathematics, that tries to fight out, the poverty.
Right.
So we're not there. We're not out there to give out money for free so that we consider charity. There are more efficient ways. But we try to make sure that those people, start working with the rest of the world. Because what happens is that whenever there's a close community, right, those guys can live perfectly fine. You know what? Which is amazing, because we did a trip to Kenya. We hosted a major contest with other startups, and then we made a trip to Kenya. And what happens is that those people are actually even happier than you would consider people to be here in US. And it's amazing, right? So we consider those people to be poor, but they're happier. And that's the contradiction.
Well, that's always the trade-off, right? Does money buy happiness? Is happy? You can be miserable and you can be rich. You can be you can be happy. You can be rich. You can be miserable. You can be poor. You can be happy. But yes, I agree. Maybe to a degree, maybe because they don't have as much and there's not as much concern about things. Maybe it's a simpler life that they are happy. I don't know the answer to that. That's a whole philosophical thing we can
get
into.
Right.
But I do want to ask you this. So, if someone. Since it's traded in this token, so you said they can cash in. I guess there's some exchange that will allow you to cash out and exchange into maybe another, and then back into cash and all that good stuff. I get that, but you really need to have this, really work pretty. And people have this. People do have more smartphones than they have banks.
Yes,
in these places. That maybe have that are underserved by well, by banks and financial institutions and people that are helping out. So you're saying that the whole social aspect of it then can kind of get the whole community together to help out these places, maybe to expand a farm or maybe expand water facilities or whatever, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be humanitarian, for goodness sakes. It could be for capital profitability as well. Maybe somebody's opening up a store somewhere on the side of, by the airport. Who knows? Whatever the answer is. So you're going to be making money if they obviously pay you back to a degree, right? Because am I on the right track here?
So we'll never make money off the customers.
You're not going to make money. Who makes money off the customers if you're lending it out? If there's no money to be made, why don't I just, I'm going to borrow a bunch of this. I'm going to get a bunch from you.
Right. It's the services. So what happens is that now we land this platform, we get the people onto the platform,
right.
And then we have those three major pillars, right, that make sure that people mm-hmm. do stay. And then we start adding additional services. So what happens is that whether that's, you know, paying utility bills, now whether that's, topping up your mobile phone,
right.
And then...
So let me just take this one step further, because this is where I think it gets fascinating, putting the piece together. You lend money, you give money, whatever the right word you want to use is, somebody's getting money from you, okay?
Right.
And they're doing something with it. Let's go back to our sheep farmer guy, right? Now, the sheep farmer guy maybe has difficulty getting any kind of usable money and on a relative basis until maybe he farms out or maybe shears the wool off of a sheep, whatever he's doing with the sheep, but maybe they're not ready, right? So now he's getting a little bit of money in, and what happens is then... Now, all of a sudden, you're giving him some money, and now he's able to possibly have enough to put some infrastructure into his own home, let's say, or his farm, that will allow for whether it's irrigation, or so therefore you then pay the services through the water bill. Electricity, maybe now all of a sudden he can get some electricity. Now you're paying the utility, and you're working with the utility with that. And now there's other services he can add on top of that. So you're technically in a very small way, piece by piece, building the infrastructure of places that don't, or theoretically building the infrastructure for places that don't have that.
Right. So what we try to do, right, is that we try to work off something that's already out there.
Mm-hmm.
So think about having POSs or ATMs. So that's something that requires a lot of supporting. So somebody has to top up those ATMs, fix
yep.
them, right, recharge them. Now, we don't want to deal with that. And that's partially why we stick to the mobile apps. So now, obviously, there's a large audience that don't have their smartphones,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the initial capital is there for. So go ahead, get your first smartphone, start working. So we're adding remote jobs options, right? So then you can, you know, pay it off. So that's how we try to kick off, and then you start the economy. So that's where the part here is, right? So again, we're not an NGO. So yes, that's a fintech company, is that we see a bit of global, just a bigger picture. So we're not trying to tackle and then, you know, start making money, you know,
right.
on day one.
Right.
We try to make sure that we do have that value. And then what's important here is that we're accessing the customers that, you know, nobody has ever touched before.
Mm-hmm.
So for the majority of our customers, that's their first smartphone. And then we are, you know, one of their first apps
right.
out there.
And then one of the things you also need is obviously internet, obviously. I mean, all this is great, but without communications, it's not so good.
Yeah.
So you're probably a big fan of all the various drone-based / balloon-based satellite get internet to everywhere concept, because really that's your market, the big market for you.
Yeah, so we've definitely heard about Facebook and Google initiatives. However, there are actually bigger initiatives than those. For example, ESA, European Space Agency, is actually working on a pilot project to make sure that they fire up the satellite out there, and then it would actually have a blockchain system on it, so that it would be able to distribute into a specific area, and then people out there would be able to communicate with the retranslator that's out there on the ground, and then communicate with the satellite, and then make sure that they're connected, onto the system. So there wouldn't be an internet, by all means. However, they would be connected.
Right.
So there are bigger initiatives out there. And then obviously we're working, many ways. We have agreements with, Chinese manufacturers that help us to try to develop, lower cost phones to make sure that...
Yeah, like Xiaomi and all those guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Last question on this is, could you have had your company, could you have actually developed and do what you do without the blockchain?
No, as of this moment. So blockchain for us is just yet another instrument. Why do we need that? Well, because there's an emission model, and then we want to make sure that every single person does get their tokens, and then we want to make sure that it's public, it's transparent, and it's immutable. So, and to make sure that where does the value of our token comes from? not from the users that actually use it and use it for the services, because we still, you know, issue the token for every new user that comes in place. We want to make sure that everybody understands the rules. And the rules are that, well, here's what happens for every new person that joins, that what happens. So for us, it's the easiest and the most, you know, the most efficient way to make sure that it is transparent.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, I appreciate it. Anton Mozgovy from, let me think. I'm going to say, I like human IQ. How's that? All right?
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
I appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Now, you know that I like good business. And when you mix good business with saving money, well, that's just smart. And I found this company, Health IQ, that we're working with as a sponsor, really just fascinating. Because one of the things that they do is they use science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance, specifically for health conscious people like runners and, you know, strength trainers, vegans, cyclists, and a whole host of more. But what's really cool is that 56% of Health IQ customers save anywhere between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. So you may think, well, how do they do that? How does Health IQ, you know, save all this money for people where other insurance companies can't? Because what happens is that when they see physically active people and they realize that, well, they have a 56% lower chance of heart disease or 20% lower risk for cancer and a 58% lower risk for diabetes compared to people who are inactive, well, what happens is you get to save money. So like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, well, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a healthy and more health conscious life. So to see if you qualify, very, very easy. Go to get your free quote over on healthiq.com/TDI or mention the promo code TDI when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Again, that's healthiq.com/TDI. You know, up next, we have a special guest. We got John Bartleman. He's the president of TradeStation Group. You know, we're good friends with TradeStation. Love TradeStation. You know me. I'm always talking about TradeStation all the time. Thanks for coming aboard. I appreciate it today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, you and I are talking on the side about the kind of the switch to you know, technology is making this, it's getting smaller, right? It's the S-curve. We know all about that. And you're telling me that there's been a pretty significant switch or movement towards web, then mobile. So how does that work with like such small little areas to work on?
Yeah, we're finding a lot of our customers are now shifting to mobile primarily. Even the customers that were using our desktop software are now finding the need to use mobile as they're on the go. So we're seeing a shift where it's now equating to almost 20% of our revenues are coming through mobile. So what we're seeing is, you know, they get used to the interface of actually being able to look at a chart, look at a quote, place a trade really pretty quickly. We just recently introduced the Matrix in the mobile app. So that gives you that type of look and feel if you're that type of a trader. So it takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's sort of like reading on the mobile. So after you've done it for a little while, it feels as natural as using the desktop platform.
Well, I'm going to do it right now while we're here. How's that? All right. I'm going to bring up that TradeStation app, which is really actually pretty nice. It's always flashing all sorts of good things. Got a whopping down on the markets right now. So you just kind of click on what? On the left three bars, and you got the hot list there. You got the orders, positions, balances, alerts. And then you could actually click one of the pieces there on the bottom. I know, because what happens is you add stuff on the bottom. That's how you guys do it.
Right.
So now you got the whole Matrix thing. The Matrix, not the movie, but the TradeStation Matrix, great tool because it's so visual. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? You just kind of like point and click,
right?
I guess is the point there.
Yep.
So you point and click and you can just kind of, and then move. So that you can point, you can click, you say, yeah, I like that. Move it down. You can set stops or smart stops, or you can set maybe limit orders or, you know, do a, you know, GTC or a day order on a sell stop buy and go short, go long, whatever you're doing. But so you're thinking this is the kind of next thing. This is getting bigger and bigger.
This is the current thing.
So is it hard to figure out how to make stuff small, but still, it's like shrinking everything, right?
Yeah, it's very difficult to find the user experience that works very quickly and intuitively in this type of an interface.
Right, because I've got a couple friends that, I'm like, could you please make the fonts bigger? Because, you know, I'm like at my full length of my arm right now trying to see, not only you, it's everybody else, right?
Exactly.
My friends are like, what's the matter with you? I'm like, I don't know, I just can't see this stuff. So now, in terms of, do you see a different kind of trader?
So at first we did. It was more the active investor initially, but now we're starting to see real hardcore day traders actually using mobile 100% of the time. So, in fact, options are the largest asset class we have through mobile. So we have an options chain functionality in here, similar to what you get in OptionStation Pro in the platform. But it's surprising to me that that's actually the largest area and growing area for us in the mobile.
Is this one of the reasons why you made the switch with TradeStation 9.5 and whatever version to now 10, which is a radically different look?
We tried to make it more in line with what we have on the web and mobile applications.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's very pretty. Yep. I'm a late upgrader. You know, it's just there's a couple of programs here and there that I'll upgrade like this as they upgrade. But generally speaking, I always find if something's working personally, until I'm forced, I'm hanging around, especially because we do a lot of development on it.
Right.
And so we need to stay on some of the older versions to make sure everybody follows along with that. So you know, by the way, congratulations on the recent move of Monex stock. That was a great deal where they picked up CoinCheck, right, yep. CoinCheck. That was a very fascinating ride.
That's going to be an interesting opportunity for us here in the U.S. So TradeStation will be working with Monex and CoinCheck to bring cryptocurrencies into the U.S.
That's great because I know that you have already, obviously, one of the first to bring on futures with Bitcoin. And then also you have feeds directly through...
through GDAX.
It's right from GDAX, right? Yeah, which is kind of interesting because I'm like, hey, one day I found them by accident. I can't even tell you how I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I think that's available. So I put it on my system. It's BTC USD or BCC USD or ETH USD. Those are the symbols direct. Just type those in TradeStation. You'll get those. But they're live. Not only are they live, I'm like, well, how live are they? Like at first, right? I'm looking, all right, let me check. So I went over and I checked the field. I'm like, my gosh, they're like on, exactly on, which was able to do so. And as you know, we have these... various indicators that we have through the trading app store, which I love. They worked so well on there. So what is the next stage for TradeStation? What is the next in technology advancement and like what's knocking on your door?
So we're looking at two things right now. So one, we're already envisioning a world after mobile. So what we're seeing is customers are actually using a lot more of the chatbot technology. So whether that's through a Twitter or Facebook Messenger or just SMS on your iPhone, you're able now to communicate with companies. So you can onboard yourself with an account opening process. You can get customer service that way. But now you can also use the products. So rather than going to TradeStation, for example, you'd be able to get a quote right through Messenger. You'll be able to place a trade ultimately through there as well.
So what do you have to do? Like something like install that bot, the TradeStation bot on Messenger?
It's not a TradeStation bot. It's actually Facebook Messenger, and you're just communicating with TradeStation. So just like you would a friend, you would communicate with TradeStation, our bot.
Right. So what do you, but do you have to do something like say, hey,
you look up TradeStation, and you find us. And then when you're starting to communicate, you're actually communicating with our bot.
Right.
Now, we also have the ability for you to communicate with a live representative if you want to, but our AI is actually what's talking to you at first.
So if you don't mind, I'll tell you a quick story. So I was looking at Geico Insurance. We're live in the conference, by the way. That's why you're hearing overhead stuff. I was looking for some car insurance, and I actually went on the Geico site. And on the Geico site, they were like, okay, can we help you? And I had a question. So I'm like, okay. So I clicked the little button. I'm talking to this person. I'm thinking, oh, they're pretty good. They're kind of fast, but okay. So then I realized, it took me a while, by the way, to realize it was a total chatbot.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, that was, I don't know how I feel, but it was a good experience.
Well, I don't know if you watched the Google.
The Google Assistant.
The Google Assistant the other day was an amazing demonstration.
Right. That was pretty remarkable. You know, you probably could do the same thing. Like, hey, Google, do me a favor. Go over to TradeStation and bid me 1,000 shares of SPY. Don't go 5 cents over the current high of the day and I'll take it, and hold it. If it does spike up 30 cents, do me a favor, sell the full position.
Absolutely. But now what we're having to do is actually figure out how to the analytics work in that environment. So you're not going to be looking at charts necessarily or knowing what the what the markets are doing. So what are you going to be speaking to our system or typing and asking questions? How would you build a model this way?
Yeah.
Or a strategy. So we have to build a system now that we can actually feed ideas to you more proactively, but have an AI intelligent bot that can actually understand what you're asking for and actually go tell you and build models for you on the markets.
Right.
So rather than you having to go to easy language to program, you may be doing some very, at least first, rudimentary things with a bot.
Wow.
But where this forces us to build models on our side. So we now have a quant team building out different AI and machine learning technologies that will be able to feed these ideas into customers' hands.
So then what's going to happen is you'll hope that, or not hope that, but you'll be looking to, instead of, let's say, there may be some technical analysis, because of course we know TradeStation's big on that, so it may be something like, I'm going to make something very easy up here, simple moving average cross. So that would be something like, hey, I really like that. Therefore, advise me when this is happening. And then maybe automatically trade, give me the information, have the messenger bot hit me back with it. And then I can confirm, yes, I want to do this trade.
Correct. And it's good to do other things like, hey, it's earnings season right now. So tell me what, Apple earnings is coming up. What usually happens after Apple's earnings on this quarter? historically, or what happens after, you know, these earnings, if it's the expectation, it's going to beat expectations.
Wow.
So we actually have analytics that can now feed that type of information to you.
So, you know, listen, you've been around this a long time, right? There's a lot of pushing going on right now. Do you know what I'm talking about? In other words, it was for a long time, all right? We did our things in business and all that, but now there's a lot of, and there was competition. There's always competition. There's no question about that. But now it's really coming not only from the competition, but it's coming kind of almost holistically from the user base, demanding a lot more. Is that something, right?
Absolutely. We call it liquid expectations. Everybody wants things simple and fast and immediate.
Yeah, make money and let me just sit back and watch my numbers go up, right?
Yep,
yeah, exactly. John Marlman, TradeStation. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. That's going to wrap it up for part three of this series from the Benzinga FinTech Awards Conference 2018. I hope you enjoyed this and the series. We have a lot more coming up. As I mentioned, we have Tom Eck from IBM, the head of the financial area of the Watson division. We'll be speaking with him. Also, Michael Batnick from Ritholtz Wealth Management is going to be a guest of ours coming up. And we have some really cool things talking about sneakers and a stock exchange, or I guess a sneaker exchange, that's now available, ready, and you can trade high-priced, fashionable, and, well, sneakers, footwear. You know, those Jordan, Nike Jordan, whatever particular version that's worth, I don't know, $5,000. Well, there's a place now that you can actually go on and trade it, and it gives you values. We'll talk about that with the founder of StockX. All that's coming up in the next episodes, but we're going to continue on with this. So stick around, stay tuned. We'll see you very soon. Thanks for joining me.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.